Welcome to The Thriving Marriage, the podcast for those who want to get their spouse back in love with them and truly thrive.
You'll learn why 95% of people don't save their marriage and the secret method no one else is talking about that will change everything for you. Are you ready?
Are you ready?
Let's turn tragedy to triumph.
Here are your hosts, international marriage experts, Mark Johnston and Heather Choate.
We are going to be doing a live Q&A with you guys and letting you know if it's possible to save your marriage or not, which is going to be super amazing because, Mark, this is what we help people assess and help them with every single day, right?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Awesome.
So before we jump into your questions, and we got a lot of them, I'm going to share a client win of the week. This one comes, I'll just change name to Brian. He said, I started personal development and really getting to work. And he says, my wife moved out last April. It's just been me and the kids since then. All right. The whole time I relied on her, honestly, looking back more than I should have. So I became self-reliant, strengthened the relationship with my kids, and started getting to business. It has taken a lot of personal development and these past couple months haven't been easy. That being said, my wife and I had a long conversation and she wants to start moving back in and reconciling. I can see that this is going to be a long process, but she is starting to put in the effort to come back. For the first time in a long time, I feel like we may work it out and be a family again. So that is a fabulous win. We always love it when we turn an unwilling spouse into a willing spouse. And this Brian here, just like you guys, at one point was wondering, can I save my marriage? Can I turn this around? She moved out. She took the kids, not a whole lot of communication going on. And he went through this process, just like we're going to take you guys through today, and was able to get things going in a good direction. Mark, any thoughts on this win here?
Well, I'm finding it, you know, really interesting. Certainly I think in a lot of cases, what this gentleman is talking about, like needing to have some self-reflection and work on self is a huge issue. And what I tend to see is, you know, the people who really try to invest the time and really put a lot of thought into it, you know, just in general, tend to see a lot more success. And it's the people who are questioning and wondering whether this is a good idea and, you know, questioning whether they are the ones that actually need to reflect at all. And, you know, didn't my spouse do something to hurt me? Are the ones that tend to really struggle with this. So, you know, it's not terribly surprising that this person is getting on track and getting things going.
That's awesome. And welcome to those who are joining us live. I see Angelica, Trisha, hello, welcome. We're going to get to some of your questions. Now, if you guys are wanting to know if there's hope for your marriage, just comment hope in the comments below now live, or as you're watching the replay, if that's in email or on YouTube, comment hope, and we will send you a free assessment that will help you uncover if there's hope for your marriage or not. So we want to make sure everyone gets the answer to this question. Is there hope for my marriage? Can my marriage be saved? So if you want that completely free assessment tool that Mark and I have created, then go ahead and leave a comment hope, and we'll get you the link to that just as soon as we're done here on the live stream with you guys. All right, so let's jump over to the questions. Yeah. All right, we're going to go to this first one from Lisa. She lets us know that husband left 2 years ago, let's see, with another woman, says he is leaving her and wants to work on us. Said he would leave her before Christmas, but he still hasn't. We have meals together and talk, but he still hasn't left her. I'm having trouble holding on as it does not align with my morals and values to be doing this. Sorry. While he lives with another woman. How do I know if I should hold on or let him go? He knows this hurts me and isn't stopping it. Now, that's the situation that she shared. And there's a couple other markers that we look at, right? And we have these in our assessment. So again, leave a comment, hope, if you want that assessment. We also want to know, how long has this been going on? She says 2 years or longer. Currently living separated. How often do they communicate? Every day. We've talked about our situation and how to fix it. That's what they've tried to do to solve it, but it hasn't worked. Why do you feel that hasn't worked? Don't know. How committed are you to having a healthy and happy relationship? 100. So we want to look at a lot of these different things other than just the situation itself, because we want to look at how long has this been going on? What have you already tried? How often are you communicating and how committed are you? So Mark, what is your perspective on this situation here that Lisa shared?
So I run into these sort of scenarios with some frequency. I can recall just off the top of my head, a whole bunch of clients in a similar boat. What I tend to see going on in these cases is, okay, the general lifespan of an affair isn't that long. I want to say most die off after about a year or two. My observation is that affairs don't tend to do well when that relationship needs to start shifting into a more committed relationship, and when it starts to need to deepen in order to continue on. And where are we at this point? We're getting to that point there. And the reason why a lot of the times that the affair relationships die off right then is because, you know, if they start off with a lot of lying and sneaking around and cheating, okay, well, what happens when you need to start trusting that person and deepening that trust a little bit? It gets really hard. So what I'm guessing is going on here with Lisa is her husband is starting to say, oh, this affair isn't that great. It isn't the greatest situation that I thought it was maybe when everything was exciting and everything was new and we were madly in love. There's some problems. And, you know, around 2 years is when a lot of, you know, living together, when you start seeing, oh, you know what, when my spouse or when my affair partner leaves the refrigerator door open, that really bothers me. Or all those little nitpicky things that you find when you start living together. And what I would say is that he probably doesn't have 100% confidence that coming back to his wife after 2 years feels super secure. So he's starting to say, yeah, I want to work on this, but it's hard letting go of something that feels more or less stable, the affair relationship, even though there's problems, and coming back into the marriage that he's really dropped a bomb on and really caused a lot of damage. So we see a lot of these situations where they kind of sit in limbo for a bit. And obviously for Lisa, that's not going to go well. She's saying this. She's saying, hey, this doesn't align with my values. He's living with another woman and she's having trouble holding on. If I had to make a guess, Lisa is really concerned about feeling some amount of security herself before really committing to this. So what do we, you know, what would we normally do in these cases? And I'm going to say, like, what would we normally do? Because this is the normal everyday stuff that you and I, Heather, deal with on a daily basis. So mm-hmm. I can say, yeah, what do we normally do with this? Because, you know, I could probably say, hey, I've got 3 or 4 other clients in the same boat right now. It's going to be a lot about talking about boundaries. Now, I say that not meaning like, okay, hey, we're going to be putting in these huge demands and saying, you know, do this or else. That's not going to go over well necessarily. Like I said, I think that her husband is feeling insecure and is feeling a little bit scared of making a decision and being left with nothing. I think very much that those sort of underlying feelings need to be addressed. And there needs to be some effort towards helping him feel secure while at the same time speaking up for her own boundaries and saying, hey, look, here's this healthy path for us to get what we're both looking for, but this isn't working. You know, sometimes this does end up meaning that we have to ramp up some of those consequences, that part of the boundaries, but, and I think it may need to go there, but it's hard to tell right from just what's presented here. But certainly, like, allowing for some path to some solutions, helping her husband feel a little bit more security, speaking up for her own needs for security, drawing some lines, I think that are all good things that would really benefit the situation. And so when the question here, Heather, is there hope? Well, yeah, I think if those things could be worked through, then absolutely, especially with the husband saying, I want to work through this. We already got him hooked in here. We already got him thinking about reconciliation. I think it's an easy, is probably not the right word, but straightforward approach that needs to happen with this.
I agree. And like you said here, Mark, we do this every day, right? So this is a really typical case, I guess is the word to say. And the fact that you're talking every day, the fact that, you know, you guys see each other often, the fact that he's wanting to work on things, even though he hasn't fully left this other woman yet, to me, you're like really high on the hope scale here. If we're to rate it, you're really high on the possibility of things turning around, but you need to do it with care. Because if you continue the way that you are, everyone needs to ask themselves this question, right? If I don't do something, then what's going to happen? Not good, right? You're going to continue to feel hurt. You're going to continue to feel ignored, or like he's not caring about you and he's not respecting you and he's not, you're right. And so we need to fix that situation. If we keep doing what we're doing, we're going to keep getting the same results, except usually worse, right? The results are going to get worse over time if left to yourself to try to fix this. So if you want our help with that, go ahead and just leave a comment, say me, and we'll give you guys a free marriage assessment call with us where we can help you identify what you need to do in your situation to turn things around quickly. We've seen, I don't even know, like hundreds of affair cases just like this turn around successfully. So in my mind, you're really, really high on the hope score. Yeah. All right.
I want to add one other thing with Lisa. My concern here is, you know, if Lisa goes and tries to find support elsewhere with someone who's not really familiar with these sort of cases, I would be concerned with other people just basically recommending to Lisa saying, hey, he's not doing what he needs to, just drop him, put up those boundaries, let him know what you think. And I think that those sort of approaches would be a mistake. But I would anticipate that those suggestions are going to be very prominent if you go to someone who's not super experienced with handling some of these harder cases like this.
Anyway. Agreed. All right, I'm going to go to comment here live from Stu. Thanks, Stu, for watching. And Gary and Donna, hi. Michael and everyone else watching. So Stu asks, when the ex-wife is pushing divorce very fast with attorneys, do you just surrender to the process rather than fight or try to slow it down? And so I'm going to answer this and let Mark jump in too. So what we always do is hit the pause button first. We have our PATH method that's going to slow down the process of divorce, because right now it's like a train that's heading right towards the cliff, right? We talk about that all the time. And you can't simply get that momentum to turn around and head in the right direction in one step. So the first step is to slow it down. We also call this buying time. If we can slow down the divorce process, if we can get our spouse to agree to give us 3 months or 6 months before a final decision is made, Mark and I have proven that more often than not, we can turn the marriage around. So in your case, the first thing that you want to do is slow down and stop that divorce process and buy yourself the time that you need to then turn that train around and get it heading in the right direction.
Yeah. Now, I even actually just had a case recently that was talking about this sort of very thing. He came on to our program, like the wife initiated the divorce process. And I think it was all finalized within, you know, less than 2 months. And he's like, it was just such a whirlwind. I wasn't sure what to do. And one of the pain points that his wife talked about, like as he's tried to reconcile after, she's like, oh, why didn't you fight for things? Why, you know, while the divorce process was going on. And I'll be honest, to a certain extent, I'm thinking, oh man, you push the divorce really quick and then you're complaining that he didn't fight for you. But there's a lot that can go wrong in those scenarios. You know, in my opinion, I think Heather's right. And, you know, there are some things that can be done to slow things down. And to a certain extent, I'm thinking to myself, well, you know, what's it can get really any worse. I mean, if you try to slow things down and that's bothersome, and you know, they end up divorced anyway, I mean, is it any worse than if you didn't do that? But at the same time, there's a lot of different factors that can play into these scenarios, especially if there are issues around complaints around control or manipulation. You'd have to go about slowing things down very carefully with the right messaging in order for it to work well. So that's a very delicate situation, in my opinion, for Stu.
Yeah. Again, one that we help people with all the time because we are the ICU for marriages. We only take on the most extreme cases. Now, Lisa came back to us and said, thanks so much for this help. So what kind of boundaries could I set up to help with my pain if not cutting things off? So if we're not cutting things off, what kind of boundaries? And we have entire trainings and other podcast episodes on how to set healthy boundaries. But in a nutshell, Mark, what would you suggest here for Lisa?
Well, where do I even begin with this? I want to acknowledge that absolutely it needs to, you know, Lisa's pain needs to be acknowledged somewhere. If I were to just give a very brief summary, I always tell people when they're setting boundaries, make sure that there is a very clear avenue for healthy actions. And if there's just refusal to cooperate, then you have consequences. And in this case, it seems to me that for Lisa, there needs to be some avenue to address this pain. If I were to make just a first pass, see if we can get some cooperation, I'd say, hey, Lisa's husband, you know, or Lisa, go talk to your husband, say, where are your solutions here to help address this pain? You know, like we've talked about you leaving. We've talked about how that's supposed to happen. It's not happening. And this is starting to really hurt. How do you suggest that we deal with this? And we're trying to get some cooperation, some proactive behavior from her husband to buy into a solution. You know, sometimes I'll try that as a first approach, mostly because I want to check if perhaps the scenario is getting stuck on a very specific solution, and perhaps her husband is being a bit passive aggressive because he doesn't like a very specific solution. Or you might say, hey, this is really hurting and we need to cut this off. What's your suggestion? So that's where I would start if I were Lisa, is we're trying to get her husband involved a little bit with the creation of some solutions. We're trying to create that very healthy avenue. Like, here is a very clear way that things can work. Otherwise, we start having some consequences. And I think that's a little bit more where Lisa is asking questions like, what kind of boundaries, or very specifically, I think she's asking about consequences. What kind of consequences can she set? And perhaps she might go to withdrawing a little bit from the scenario. She says, hey, I would love to talk and I'd love to have this dinner. I'd love to be able to spend time together. And I need to know that some solutions are happening. And so if you can't have that happen, maybe I need to take a step back and maybe we can't have this dinner on Saturday. It would be a very first step, first pass at some boundaries. And maybe we'd have to evaluate from there and perhaps ramp up. Yeah.
Awesome. All right. Thank you, Mark. And I hope that that's helpful, Lisa. Again, this is so specific to you and your marriage. Well, Mark and I, we offer these very general principles that, from a 30,000 foot view, the real magic happens when we work with you one-on-one and we can go deep into your relationship and give you the exact steps, the exact boundaries to set in this case that will work for you and won't backfire. So I want this to be very clear to everyone listening. If we give specific guidelines to one person in one case, that could be the completely wrong advice for you in your situation, okay? And so it's very important that you get that specific one-on-one guidance, and that's exactly what we offer. All right, let's go to Shane's question here. All right, so Shane says, in May of 2022, my wife told me she wanted out. This came as a shock to me as I thought things were better than ever before. After having some tough and very heated conversations with her, as well as lots of research, did I know years of not putting her needs first and not being a good listener, she did not feel heard and understood. She told me she loved me, but wasn't in love with me. You guys in the comments, if your spouse has said that, comment me. I'll send you a training on what that exactly means. Okay. If they say, I love you, but I'm not in love with you, comment me and I'll send you that. All right. She isn't attracted to me, etc. All the typical things I did, everything wrong at first to push her away as I was desperate and needy, trying to hold my family together. Through lots of emotional work and adjustments around the beginning of October, she seemed to hit the pause button. She started spending more time at home again as the summer. She was always looking for a reason to be gone whenever I was home and wouldn't come home until she knew I'd be asleep. We started having fairly regular date nights and life slowly started to return to normal. However, it still feels like the roommate stage. We talk and get along. We are like friends again. Sometimes she will connect with me and start to feel as husband and wife again. Then after some time of that, usually a day or two after being intimate, she will start to pull away again, stating she can't do this and isn't attracted to me or in love. After some time, she will slowly open up and start talking more and being friendly. The cycles happen over and over, yet I feel like we can't get past the stage. I try not to push her to talk about the relationship as I'm just trying to rewrite her narrative. I just don't want to get stuck in the friend stage forever. I'm trying to be consistent with my efforts, but I'm starting to wonder if it can be any better than it is now. And if maybe I married the wrong person. Mm. All right, Shane, thank you for sharing. I'm going to go through a few more things here. This has been going on for 1 year. You are living together and you do talk every day and you are 100% committed to your marriage working out. Okay, good. That's a little bit of our assessment. Again, comment hope if you want the free assessment to see if there's hope for your marriage or not. All right. So you're stuck in the friend stage. I can tell, Shane, that you know a lot about our path process. You're talking about the pause button. You're talking about how she'll take some steps towards you. You talk about how you're friends and how you like things are feeling really good, but there's still a little bit of this teeter totter effect, right, Mark? Mm-hmm. She's, you know, reaching out, being intimate with you, and then she pulls away. And now you're at the point where you're starting to create another narrative here. At the end, you said, I'm starting to wonder if it can get any better than this, right? Because you're not happy with the friend stage. You're not happy with the cycle, is what I'm assuming here. And you're starting to wonder if maybe you married the wrong person. Mark, what are your thoughts with Shane's question here?
It tells me that they're not addressing the underlying issues here. I saw some, I'm trying to even recall who was talking about it in these ways, but I really liked his metaphor. He talked about some marriage issues as like there's smoke and then there's fire. And if you're actually going to deal with, you actually have to get down to what's actually causing the fire rather than just trying to blow the smoke away. So, and what I mean by, we talk about it as like underlying or root problems and whatnot. It's the same sort of idea. But Heather, I don't know if you noticed this. Look what they did. They got back together a little bit and they started going out on dates and things returned to normal, quote unquote. But nowhere in there did they actually address why any of this was happening at all. And that's what I saw as really missing. And why is this a big issue? And it's right at the root of why the cycle keeps happening and why neither of them feel secure in this is because they don't know how to address that issue of like, are they in love? Are there those romantic feelings? She's talking about loving him, but not being in love. And so every time it approaches that question, like, are we in love as they're starting to date or starting to get a little bit closer? She's like, okay, this isn't actually resolved yet. I don't know. Like, I don't know how to build up this feeling of love again, these romantic feelings. And so they keep going through these cycles over and over again. If I had to make further comments, just from the description, I'm guessing that they are not sitting down with some of those difficult conversations. I mean, he even specifically says, I try not to push her to talk about the relationship. I'm trying to rewrite the narrative. And, you know, those things aren't necessarily mutually exclusive. But it seems like there is some hesitation. And I would say that that's probably, once again, at the center of this. You know, I would imagine that either one or both of them are a little bit avoidant towards, towards addressing some of these problems. And that's why they're in this spot to begin with. Very likely, you know, like I said, one or both of them are avoidant. And this is why they started drifting apart and why they started feeling more like friends, because they're not actually addressing those conversations that need to to be had. And so it was easier to say, well, we're just drifting apart and we feel more like roommates and that romance isn't there. So back to the question at hand, can this be saved? I think this is an absolutely, like, I'm actually surprised that we got like two right in a row, what I would consider very straightforward cases. In this case, Shane's wife is still in the picture and they keep going through these cycles and there's kind of this desire to be close and then some dissonance here, some discrepancy, like saying, oh, we're doing these actions where we should be feeling close, but we're not. And I feel like that if Shane could get to that discussion and like start to address some of these things, I think it would be a very, I would anticipate that this would quickly turn around, much more than many other cases.
Yep, Shane's here. He says, you are correct. My wife will not talk about anything that's really bothering her. She shuts down when the relationship talk comes up.
Yeah, well, and so I imagine it would be really helpful to sit down and say, talk with an expert and discuss maybe how do you help your wife be a little bit more open? How do you actually have these conversations and help her feel like there is some sense of security that these things are going to be taken care of? Like if I had to even go further, your wife needs some hope, Shane, that there's a plan, there's a way to fix all these things. And I think every time you go through these cycles, a little bit of hope gets lost because she says, okay, and we didn't do it again, and we didn't solve this again, and we keep going through this cycle and nothing's happening. So I would say that if nothing is done, I would guess that the momentum of this would eventually take the Shane and his wife to probably eventually break up, because that cycle isn't leading anywhere. And I think you're losing a little bit of hope each time.
Right. And from a mindset perspective, which is what I help clients with, I would really be careful of the narrative that you're telling as well there, Shane, because while we want to work on our spouse's narrative, and you even talked about shifting her narrative and telling the new story, you're the one that's creating a story as well. So what is the story that you're telling, and is it going to help you get where you want to be? And so if you're telling a story like, I don't know if I can keep doing this, maybe I married the wrong person, that is not going to create a great outcome in this relationship, right? You know that. And so it's being very mindful about what is the story that I'm creating about the relationship, because if you have that underlying layer of doubt and self-preservation, which is what it is, trying to protect yourself, let's just be real, right? Then it's going to come across with your wife, and she's going to sense it, and you're going to sense it, which only makes the relationship even more insecure and ultimately unfulfilling as the cycle continues to repeat itself. So I would encourage you to take some time, really think about, where do I want my marriage to be in another 3 months from now, 6 months from now, a year from now, 10 years from now, right? And if that's not the picture you want to see, like, you have to create the story. No one else is going to do it. You have to decide where you're going to go. If you leave it up to your wife, you already know where she's at with things, right? So you need to create the story and decide where you want to go in your marriage. And then develop those home messages that Mark talks about. And I know you know what we're talking about because you're a good student. I can tell you're a good client here, and you're paying attention, you're applying, and you're getting into action, which is awesome. So use those home messages, not just with her, but with yourself. You've got to create a new narrative of, like, what kind of relationship do I actually want to experience in this life? Life's too short to live miserable and unhappy and wondering if you married the wrong person, right? So create a story that really lights you up, that feels good through and through your entire body, and that you're willing to work for, and then work to create that story in your life with your actions, and start to tell yourself that story over and over and over, and then it will manifest. It will show itself. All right, so many good questions coming in. Let's go. All right, let's go to Andre's here. Do you have a comment?
Oh, I was just going to say, hey, the next one in the list specifically didn't want their name used. Just wanted to, it didn't say that right at first, but we didn't use the, you didn't use the name. I don't see Andre's in the list. Okay.
No worries.
There's Andre. Okay, I see it.
All right. So he is a client of ours, and he wanted some perspective from you, Mark, because he's working with one of our other coaches. He says, married for almost 24 years, but separated physically for almost 2 years since she moved out of our house, saying the infamous, I love you, but I'm not in love with you, and I want a divorce. I've been working with High Thrive since June 2022, and we've made a little bit of progress in opening up communication, but we still don't talk about deep issues much, and I don't sense she has any desire to work on things. I'm the one pursuing all the time with texts, phone calls, and rarely will she reach out to me first unless she wants something like submitting an insurance claim on my employer's policy or something from our house. All right, and just another quick check. Yeah, 2 years or longer, they're living separated. They do talk a few times a month.
Yeah. Well, so here we get into a situation that is not quite as straightforward as the other two. Not to say that Andre's situation is unsolvable. Specifically, you know, it sounds like there has been a lot of examination, especially if he's been working with one of our coaches for a little while. What I'm noticing here is that they've been separated for 2 years, and I find it really fascinating that nothing has been done to further that situation. As in, I would anticipate, you know, if divorce was really, really wanted in this scenario, they would be taking time to make that happen. And I see these sort of scenarios a lot where you just kind of sit in limbo. It's easier to stay married, but not divorce. It represents some pain going in either direction, some pain coming back to the marriage, some pain actually going through the process to get the divorce. And, you know, it's hard to tell exactly what is keeping them in the marriage. You know, certainly there are some things here that indicate perhaps some financial reasons, but there may be a lot of other reasons as well. I'm not specifically familiar with Andre's case. You know, like I said, I'm not working with Andre directly. But in this sort of situation, you know, I'm looking at that one statement again, the I love you, but I'm not in love with you. And I'm wondering what's been done to address that specifically. Now, a lot of times if we have this going on long enough, the person's making that statement will just say, well, nothing's going to work. Nothing's going to happen. We can't, you know, they might make some statements like we can't change our feelings, which is, it's false, but they're going to have a very low amount of hope that anything could be done about it. So generally when I'm looking at these cases, I'm thinking to myself, how do we really ramp up the demonstration that, or really show the contrast between what had been happening and what's happening now, really demonstrate that whole message that Heather was just talking about, these ideas that, hey, things can be better. We can have some feelings between each other. Communication can be good. How are we actually showing that that's true? And a lot of why I would be focusing in on that specifically for Andre, like I said, we're needing to show that there's some hope in some solutions. And I think that Andre's partner is probably not going to be super motivated to be proactive himself. So it's going to fall on Andre for a bit to provide some of that action and that energy towards making some changes. Now, I'm going to admit, Heather, I tend to be, I would say, realistic. And I don't like to overpromise things, and I don't like to sugarcoat this. And I think sometimes that can come across as me being a bit of a grump with some of these things. So like, if I say, hey, there is room, but there's a lot of things that room for success here, but there's a lot of things we need to look at. I don't want this to be misconstrued as, oh, Mark's not expressing a lot of hope in the situation. I'm just saying, I don't know enough about this. And there'd be a lot of things that I'd want to kind of poke at and examine before I say, yes, absolutely, we can make this work. Specifically, you know, if Andre's been taking some time to examine this, you know, I need to look at why things haven't been progressing as much as we would like. And usually when we can look at the kind of inner workings, like what's going on there, I can usually find something to adjust in some area that we haven't really considered yet. So can this be worked out? Yeah, I think it needs some closer examination. I'm guessing that there's some things that have been missed that we aren't looking at. I would also guess that there's probably some uncomfortable situations that are being avoided that we really need to support Andre in and making sure he's taking those decisive actions.
Yeah, and he comments here, Andre does, I think that I need to understand home messages, more about these home messages, not sure I've been using them. So Mark, can you give us a quick rundown of what home messages are? And if anyone wants the full training that we have a podcast episode on home messages, comment home messages, and we'll get that to you after the podcast as well. So Mark, quick rundown on what is the home message?
Yeah, the 10-second overview. I'll give a little bit more explanation than that, but I explain home messages as essentially affirmations that we share with other people that are very clearly communicated and are backed by action. So I think most people understand what an affirmation is. We say, okay, if I'm trying to build up my confidence, I might say to myself, Mark, you can do it and you're great and people like you and whatever kind of message I'm trying to build up for myself. Sometimes just having that message doesn't always communicating those things to your spouse doesn't always have much of an impact. And generally, why I say, okay, this is different from an affirmation is because I really try to help my clients keep coming back home to these ideas over and over again, making this a very much a theme in the conversation. And I try to support my clients in trying to find ways not just to communicate these positive ideas, these things that your spouse really needs to hear, but how do we demonstrate that these ideas are true? So it's very much, this is why we kind of describe it as trying to create a new narrative. Because if you're coming back to some very similar ideas with frequency and you keep talking about it and you're very conscious of how you're communicating it and you're demonstrating that these ideas are true, we start shifting the narrative around it. We can start calling out partners who are saying, no, that you're not caring when clearly you've been taking action to demonstrate care. Things like that. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And so if you guys find this valuable, give us a thumbs up. Again, leave a comment here if you have a question that you want us to answer. If we can't get it in the live episode today, we will be answering them over in direct messenger or on Facebook or YouTube, wherever you guys reach out to us. We do answer and see every single comment and respond personally. So, all right, another question here. All right, this one comes from Gary. Separated and in different towns, wife's parents are residing with her. They seem to be protecting my wife. No communication. How do I deal with this? So my first question for you, Gary, is when you say no communication, let's get a little clearer. Does that mean you're not talking at all? Like, when was the last time you did talk? How often do you talk? And then how deep are you able to talk about things? Most likely it's probably pretty surface level and you really can't talk about the relationship, but zero communication, like you haven't talked for over a year, is very different than, hey, we just talk a couple times a month, but it's surface level. So if you can go a little bit deeper into that, that will help us. And then we'll circle back to you.
Well, I'm going to make a comment on Gary's situation myself. I do agree that, understanding a little bit more what the communication situation is like is important, but I picked out the word, okay, that his wife's parents are trying to protect her. And that sets off some alarms here in my head. I'm like, okay, well, why is this a situation that she needs to be protected from? Is there, is the story that's in place here, is there kind of a perspective of abuse or narcissism or crossing boundaries that have been set? And these are important things to consider. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't recover from that, but it's very important to acknowledge some of these negative stories that are being built up. Because if Gary, I'm not going to automatically assume that Gary's being described as abusive or that Gary is abusive, but I'm saying, hey, if that's one of the accusations that are out there, then we need to address that very much directly before anything else can happen. And I would guess that whole aspect there of his wife needing to be protected has a lot to do with the lack of communication, if they're in to whatever lack there is. So.
Awesome. Thank you. Hope that is helpful, Gary. Again, we can go deeper with you in that. So I think a really important thing to realize is that, okay, maybe right now things don't look so good, but if you don't do anything, then what are the chances of things turning around? Mark and I are never, ever going to say, yes, there's 100% chance that you can save this, because we both know, you and I listening, right? You know, like, we can't control your spouse, but this is the process that has helped turn unwilling spouses into willing spouses, and it increases the likelihood of it turning around. So if you keep doing things the way that you are right now, your chance of turning things around might be like 10%, maybe even 0%. But if you find the process that works and the system that works to get communication open, to start to change the narrative, to get them to hit the pause button on divorce or separation, for them to want to work on things and want to be with you, to become willing to talk about things and willing to work on things, well, now your, you know, percentage chance of things working out has greatly increased. So that is what we help you guys do. All right, question here from Caitlin watching live. Hi, Caitlin. My husband left me a year ago for another woman. We had 17 years together and 2 kids. He has mostly been stonewalling me lately, but was considering trying for around 9 months. He is still with her and basically lives with her. We talk mostly only about the kids, but he seems to think that he has made his bed and now has to sleep in it. Says it's the biggest mistake of his life and has really hurt his relationship with his kids. He has a hard time being in the same room as me.
Now, I'm going to address Caitlin's issue, but I'm going to point that it's similar to a couple other the comments here. Now, like, Michael is talking about a stonewalling spouse as well. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to say specifically that Caitlin's spouse or husband is stonewalling, but it has some similarities there, in that there are certain topics that can't seem to be brought out or addressed. And I want to explain some things to have some understanding here. Now, things like stonewalling and defensiveness, we also, these are Gottman's four horsemen of divorce. Stonewalling, defensiveness, criticism, and contempt. What are they? They're very specifically, I think that they're all about a shutdown in communication of either offensively or defensively. And what is going on in a lot of those cases is there's these underlying hurt, hard feelings that there's not a good way for them to come out for them to be addressed. So I'm feeling hurt, so I'm going to criticize my partner, or I'm feeling hurt, so I'm going to shut down and not talk to them. So we have these underlying feelings that aren't being addressed, and then protective behaviors. What I tend to see is people get upset about these protective behaviors, and they focus on those things, and they miss all the underlying feelings that are causing these protective behaviors. If I had to have some empathy for some of these people who are stonewalling or who are criticizing people, I'd say, hey, these are people that are likely overwhelmed or frustrated or hurt or something, and they don't know how to deal with this in a better, more healthy way. So for Caitlin, very clearly, I can see, you know, she says a couple things. Her husband says this is the biggest mistake of his life, that he's made his bed and now he's sleeping in it. He doesn't feel like he can be redeemed or that he can come back from this scenario. So what is he going to do? He's going to, and then that last sentence, he has a hard time being in the same room as me. Here is some deep, deep hurt, some deep shame.
Yeah.
And how does he come back from that? He has no idea how he can at all recover. If Caitlin wants this scenario to turn around, she has to help him see how they could recover from that, how he could deal with that shame and that guilt. And I don't think that it will turn around until he sees some glimmer of hope that something good could happen and some amount of acceptance could be gained, at least in the long run.
Love that.
So could that be saved? You know, we keep going back to that question. I think that it would take some careful, delicate work with communication around especially that affair and some of his actions. It would take some gentle accountability, but I think this could be a situation that absolutely could be saved. It just, you need to go about it carefully, I think.
Right. And I think that's where we make a big mistake, right? Because I've been there in the same place with you guys, wondering if my marriage was going to work or not, and feeling like maybe it's better to just kind of give up rather than keep doing the same painful things over and over and over again. And so that is really where it comes down to, is that when we're in this situation, we cannot solve it on our own. That's why it takes someone from the outside that knows how to solve these situations, how to help us navigate through these challenges and this hell that we're in right now, because we're too close to it. We can't see it for what it is. You may have heard me say, like, you can't read the label when you're inside the bottle. I was just looking at a bottle the other day with my girls, and I was giving them this analogy. Like, sometimes we're so close to our own pain and our own situation that we can't see what the label says. And so it takes someone from the outside that knows how to read the label on your bottle, how to diagnose what's really going on, and to prescribe the treatment plan that's going to get you there. I also relate this to when I had cancer, right? If I had noticed the lump and I was like, I'm just going to solve this myself. How many of us are trying to solve our marriage problems on our own? We're just trying to work on ourselves, or like we read a book. Like, if I had done that with cancer and just try to solve it myself, do you think I would be standing here today? No, I went to the top expert in the world that knew how to help young pregnant women with this kind of aggressive cancer. And I did exactly what she said to do. So if your marriage means anything to you, do not be frivolous or careless with it. And don't be prideful thinking that you have the answers, because you don't. Okay. I didn't. And you don't. And let's just own the fact that we are in a mess and we don't know how to get out of it. Mm-hmm. And then let's look to people that know how to guide us, because they've done it before. And they've not only done it before, but they've helped thousands of other people get there as well. And that's exactly what Mark and I have done. All right. I want to get to a few more comments here. I'm going to go to, I'm not sure how to say your name. So Sana, I think, is a beautiful name. Hopefully I got it right. All right. You had submitted a question. I'm going to go ahead and go to that one first. My husband and I are separated at the moment. We have married 9 years, 3 beautiful boys together. It was an arranged marriage. We never spoke to each other before we got married, so we did not know anything about each other. We started having small arguments and stonewalling since the beginning of our marriage. We had good times too. He says we probably have more good times, but bad times or arguments have impacted him deeply. We lost our first child, and that also drifted us apart. Once I caught him texting his ex, who was in another country, and he apologized and cut off all contact with her. But 4 years later, he again contacted her, saying every time we fought, he needed to talk to somebody. His ex is good, though. She didn't meet him when he visited Turkey because she thought I wouldn't like it. Fast forward to now, we tried couples counseling. It actually worsened our situation. We would go together laughing, and by the time we were coming home, we both wouldn't talk to each other. He asked me for separation and he checked out completely. He started an emotional affair and stopped it when I started having panic attacks. He moved out. He said he couldn't take my emotional volatility anymore. I've done everything in the past, begging, pleading, crying. I'm not doing it anymore. I meet him with a smile on my face. I help him with the kids as much as I can. We talk about kids and other stuff. We set step goals every morning and tell each other our updates, how much we walk today. But when it comes to the relationship, he doesn't talk about it. He either says it's too stressful or painful for him and says he doesn't want to think about these things. Please let me know if there's hope in my situation. And this has been going on a year. You're living separated. You do talk every day and you are 100% committed to working on the relationship.
All right. A few observations that I had here. Now, specifically, what do we have? We have this couple try in couples counseling. They say, okay, things are broken. How do we fix this? And they go through couples counseling, and what ends up happening is they say, okay, it got worse. So here is this moment where they lost hope that anything could be better. Because obviously, if the couples counseling didn't help and they just felt worse coming out, then there's no hope for them. Hmm. And I get this feedback sometimes when people are talking about like their experience with couples counselors, especially if they are not, if that's not their focus. Now, just the environment of mental health is, a lot of people tend to go to these general practitioner therapists who might see a lot of anxiety disorders and mood disorders, and they might sometimes see some couples. And what I hear from those situations is they say, we came into the session, the therapist just sat there and we argued the entire session and then we just left. And I'm like, oh my goodness, what is going on there? Because, you know, that's not how those sessions should run. And I think a large part of, like, in this case, Sana's situation, I don't think that her husband knows how to fix this. I think he's feeling very overwhelmed. And we see that towards the end, where he says that he doesn't want to talk about the relationship, it's too stressful or painful. He tried talking about it and it's even more painful. And when this lady here, you know, when she goes to her husband to talk about it, she gets really anxious and panicky. I think he's flooded and he's overwhelmed and everything's too emotional and it's too hard. And I'm also seeing that she's almost like putting on a mask, and they've gotten into this habit where it's easier to avoid talking about things and pretend that it doesn't exist, because at least on some level that means they don't have to deal with the pain. So what would we do, and is this salvageable? I think that if they could learn how to address that pain right there and help her husband feel secure and safe in being able to talk about things, I think that there would be a lot of hope there. I think that if we could build up some sense of, you know, like I said, some security, some sense that, hey, there is something that could be done, lots of hope there. And it would take some very careful communication around some of these problems to kind of warm him up and building up some trust that, hey, there can be some talk about this, some communication about it, and it doesn't have to feel terrible, I think, before he would really open up a bit more. But, you know, I think if we could accomplish some of those things, I think there's a lot of hope for this situation.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. And Gary, the answer is yes. Yes. Should I even attempt coaching based on your response? The short answer is yes. You definitely need to talk with us and not try to go at this alone. If you go at it alone, you're heading right off the cliff. Like, the reality is, like, if I had tried to like take out the cancer myself, if I just try to operate myself, I would not be standing here today, right? It took guidance from an expert that knew how to give me an increased chance of life. You know what chance they gave me? 5%. 5% chance at life, and I took it. So if I could give you 5% chance at this working out, and you did the work and you're committed, do you think you got a better shot at a positive outcome than if you don't? That's really the decision that has to be made here. All right, I'm going to go to Michael's question here real quick. I think I'm pretty solidly in the pause and trying not to sabotage it by trying too hard. Not talking about the relationship at this point has been crucial because it tends to backfire. I'm just going to give you a huge high five, Michael. You hit the pause button and you know that talking about the relationship right now is going to backfire. That's amazing awareness. Like, that right there is a huge win because you're getting it, right? I'm struggling to figure out how to help her be attracted to me again. The morning formula has helped me. The morning formula is something that we offer our clients as a way to kind of set your day and get your mindset right. So the morning formula has helped me be less stressed out about it, but I still feel like I'm on eggshells most of the time. And Michael, that's really, really normal. At the same time, if you're in this fear mode, like you're on eggshells all the time, right? You're still coming at this with some desperation and she's going to feel it, right? It's not going to feel safe to her. And so I really encourage you to work on becoming like the rock in the storm. Right now you're in a storm and your wife is doing what she's doing and it's hard. But you can either choose to get ripped apart by it, go into the storm with her and just have everything be chaotic and painful, or you can choose to find the calm in the storm. The storm's not going to go away, not for a while, right? But you can find that calm and that centeredness in the storm. that's going to help you to weather it and help you to feel calm and centered and in control of your own self, even with all of these things going on. And that is the shift that we talk about, moving out of fear and into your own personal power, focusing on the things that you can control, creating the life and the relationship that you want to have, steering the ship, not controlling your spouse or making things or forcing things to happen, but finding that the security that you want, the security you think you're going to have from her doing certain things, is not where the security is actually found. The thing you're wanting is found inside of you. The acceptance, the forgiveness, the peace, the security, it's only inside yourself. And when you can get to that kind of a place, you will feel better. And here's the cool part. She will notice and she will feel safer around you, and she will naturally become more attracted to you, because we are always attracted to someone that's confident and calm and peaceful and happy, even in the midst of a crazy storm. Those are the leaders that we look to, right? Those are the people we put our trust in. So that's the work that I have for you to do there. And you can do it, because everyone can. It's just learning how to process through those emotions, getting out of fight, flight, or freeze mode, taking the pressure off you, taking the pressure off of her, and then really honing in on where is that feeling I'm going for? How do I find it in myself every single day? And then how can I bring that more into my relationship? That'll shift everything for you. And absolutely, you're welcome. You said thanks. Awesome. All right. Well, thank you so much, Mark. And thank you everyone for watching here today. We deeply honor you. It says something amazing about you, that you're willing to work on your marriage, that you are willing to look at yourself, that you're willing to make changes, that you're humble and you're seeking for answers. The fact that you're listening right now means a part of you has hope that it will work out. So let's focus on that, and then let's amplify it. Let's get you some quick wins. Let's get them hitting that pause button. Let's getting them taking steps towards you, wanting to talk with you, opening up that communication, deepening that connection. And then in just a little while from now, they will give you their heart fully again. That's what we help you do. So one last call to action, because I got to do it. If you want a free marriage assessment with us, comment and say marriage assessment in the chat below, and we will get you the link where you can book that. We'll assess exactly what's going on in your marriage. Now, Mark, we didn't have any here that were 100% no's.
No.
Let's leave everyone real quick with the idea that it's not 100% no, because that's most likely the case. And if there is, we will let you know. But there's usually hope if you handle it with care and you take positive action.
Absolutely.
Any final thoughts, Mark?
No, I think that's a good note to leave off on. Awesome. I just really appreciate everyone being here today.
Yeah. Thank you so much for joining, and we will see you next week. So thank you all, and take care. We cannot wait to see your marriage thrive.
See you, everyone.
Thanks for listening to The Thriving Marriage, your A to Z blueprint for not just surviving marriage, but thriving. Until next time, my friends, thrive on.